Shaw here from jeansbestrecommendedproducts.com, and today I'm chatting to Gary Parks. That's Gary with two R's. Now, Gary is another of Alex Jeffrey's students and was on the same coaching course I was, but his story is somewhat unusual. Right from the start, it was evident he had real leadership qualities, and clearly they caught Alex's eye because within a few short months, Gary became Alex's operation manager. Now, I'm not really sure exactly what that involves. Maybe he's just a gopher. But today we're going to find out. So, Mr. Gary Parks with two R's, are you there?
I am, Jane, and thanks so much for the introduction. You make me sound really good.
Well, so how are you? Well, you are really good. Very talented. So, how's things?
Doing well, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, very good. Now, as I just explained, you caught Alex's eye. So what is your background? What was your experience before you decided to become an internet entrepreneur?
Well, the background, all my sort of like real career or whatever you want to call it, has always been in IT. I'm a sort of like an IT consultant or an IT project manager. So I've had years and years of experience, you know, starting from obviously starting as a programmer, leading up to not like a consultant or a project manager. So, you know, that was my background. And for a number of years, I dabbled in internet marketing, but only that. I never really give it a real, you know, the real commitment it needed until Alex Jeffries came along. So, you know, that's where I came from.
Oh, right. So how did you find Alex then?
Well, I must have at some point obviously subscribed to one of his lists, or I think one of the other big marketers, probably Mike Fulsame or something like that, was on his list, sent me an email. I'd never, ever heard of Alex whatsoever, not even, you know, a little bit, nothing at all. And I got this email, and obviously I saw the sort of like his promotional video, and, you know, I tend to be a good judge of character, and I can just sense in the video he was a sincere and genuine guy. Well, I felt that at the time. And you know,
when you say that, is that because you now work for him?
Well, no, I did feel it at the time, and obviously I was just going to go and say, and that's proved to be the case. He is a little bit different from others. He really does put an awful lot of effort in. As you know as well, Gene, obviously some of the calls we had on those, that initial coaching course went to, I think, was it a record 6 or 7 hours was one of them, which...
My son was getting up as I was going to bed.
And I know, it was unbelievable. I mean, he literally kept on the call till the last question, or the last person who wanted to ask anything, was answered. And so, you know, he delivered what I expected and more. And, you know, it just really got me going in a different direction to what I'd done before when I was just dabbling. I just knew where to do what this guy was telling me. And hence, I really threw myself into what he was teaching.
Now, right from the start, you displayed a lot of initiative, and just looking back at the support you offered your fellow students at the beginning of the course, Alex kind of commended you quite a lot at the start, and some of the students took it as if he was showing you some favouritism. How did you feel about that?
Well, I must admit, it got drawn some attention a little bit afterwards that, you know, some people were sort of like... you know, saying, and well, in fact, they were saying negative things about me, saying that, you know, I'd been favoured or whatever, and, you know, all this sort of stuff, and I'd been picked out and all this. But the bottom line is, I was the one that was basically going out there and doing all the stuff that, you know, Alex said we should do, and I really, really threw myself into it. I did that. So for other people, I mean, I know somebody actually gave me a link, says, oh, go and have a look at this forum, Gary. You'll find somebody really writing some, you know, some things about you, which is not very complimentary. And effectively, basically saying I'd been singled out and favoured, etc., etc. But I thought, so I'm not even going to bother look at, you know, what these people are saying. So why should I apologise for putting an awful lot of effort in? If these people want to get the success of anybody, not just myself or anybody else, rather than criticise and be envious and jealous, they should mimic and mirror what that person is doing, rather than critical. They'll never get anywhere if basically all they do is doom and gloom and blame something else for why they're not getting on. The bottom line is I put an awful lot of effort in, to the extent where, you know, towards the back end of that coaching course, you know, I had to actually stop people emailing me and requesting that because it was just getting ridiculous. Now, did they put that same sort of effort in? I very much doubt it. They were probably in the forums basically criticising, oh, yeah, Gary's been, you know, singled out again. And the reason I was singled out because I was doing stuff. They could have done exactly the same. They had exactly the same information given to them, and yet they choose to basically bicker among themselves or whatever, rather than basically get on with the task at hand. The only person who's going to, I believe, who's going to make you a success of anything in life is you as an individual and taking responsibility, and I don't really think those people did.
That's right. You're responsible for your own success, aren't you?
That's right, and I'm not going to apologise to anybody else who basically says, oh, yeah, Gary did great, you know, why can't I be singled out and sort of like shown as an example in the, on the course? Well, what did they do? So, you know, I choose not to spend too much time on thinking about why people are getting that brain mindset and, you know, sort of like way of thinking. But unless they get out of it, they'll be entirely stuck in a rut and blaming everybody else and not take responsibility for their own actions.
Now, you've formed some really good friendships through the course, and I'm assuming that they're still going. One in particular was Gary Simpson from Australia. And you were very good friends with him long before you ever met, weren't you?
That's not true.
Oh, really?
We met on the course.
Yeah, exactly. That is what I meant, that you became friends through the course.
Oh, that's very true, yeah. I mean, we both started out on the course, and like anything, obviously we made some tentative email exchanges. We have, you know, we have a really, really similar sort of like mindset of way of thinking about things, you know, got a great sense of humour. And, yeah, we really, really got on great. We were Skyping each other all the time. And obviously we met in Vegas last year for the first time and again for the second time this year. Yeah, we've got on fantastic, you know, like I said, similar sort of like beliefs in what we should be doing going forward. And, you know, I mean, I'm not only Gary, there's one or two others obviously I've kept in touch with, maybe not as regularly as I should do recently because I've been very busy. But, yeah, it was a great thing. That was a good, strong thing about the Alex Jeffries course. We sort of like built up a community of friends who was helping one another, and that's continued on to this day, I feel.
So was he more or less your accountability partner from the start, or did you both help each other?
I suppose indirectly. That's a good way of looking at it. I mean, I think we were both driven, and we were both committed to it, and I think by basically exchanging ideas and basically talking regularly, and, you know, helping each other out, because, as you know, we both, you know, I sort of like launched a newsletter during the course, and Gary offered to do, you know, all the editing and the copywriting for it, and sort of like just check it. It was obviously one of my strengths. He's far better at grammar and English and all this sort of stuff, and that's not one of my strengths. I'm not terrible at it, but obviously Gary's far, far better, and he just volunteered to do all that, and it was great, and I helped him out with some, you know, sort of like HTML, some technical things, and it worked from there.
Well, it was like a dream team. much appreciated.
It was, yeah, but I think we both got something out of it, and to this day we both help each other out, and we're going to do sort of like a joint venture together very, very soon.
Oh, right. So who's getting top billing? The Gary with the two R's or the one with the R?
Yes, we had a... In fact, it was very, very funny. I mean, the reason we actually emphasised that thing about the 2 hours and the 1 hour, because obviously he's got 1 hour in his name, is because for some bizarre reason, even though he was the other side of the world in Australia and he had his own blog and I had my blog, people kept mixing us up, and we kept getting emails regularly from people, and it was quite evident there was one and the other Gary, and there was quite a few times, so we tried to differentiate between the two of us, and that's why Gary started using the Gazman, you know, sort of like logo and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, right.
And I started using the 2 hours in Gary, all this sort of stuff. But who's going to take top billing? Well, I'm sure it's going to be a joint effort, so I'm sure we'll be able to have a nice friendly discussion about who gets that.
Now, as you say, you've both got a good sense of humour, and your first video was a very amusing tongue-in-cheek video about you being online with Alex Jeffries and reversing the roles about who was the celebrity.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
You told me, actually, that you were quite nervous making that video, but it was never apparent. How do you feel about making videos now?
It is amazing. I can't remember if I told you the full stories, but up until that point in the coaching course, nobody, even though everybody, you know, was raving about me and it was great and everybody was coming to my blog and was helping people out, nobody had seen my face, not even a still image. And I had a bit of a mental hurdle. Even though I was throwing myself into all this, there was something about having your face on a blog.
Yes, I remember you had an avatar, didn't you, that wasn't your face, was it?
It was. I think it was an old-looking eye or something. I thought, I'll just search one day. I thought, oh, that'll do me. I'll have that. And I knew it was something that was holding me back. I knew if I really had to 100% commit to all this, I had to basically get over that mental hurdle in my own head of basically my face being visible and out there.
Mm.
And
I thought that was just a woman thing.
Well, no, we all have our own sort of like, I don't know, mental hiccups or, you know, problems we have to come over. And that was one. Even though it sounds absolutely ridiculous, most people couldn't believe it when I said this, it was a big issue for me. And when, you know, Alex announced the video competition, get a video up there, I knew at that time that straight away, right, I had to get a video up there, I had to be in it, and that would get over this sort of like phobia or whatever, this big hurdle, mental hurdle I had. So that's why I put that video up. And I'm glad you said that it didn't look as though I was nervous. And when I was doing it, I wasn't nervous. It was more of a thing preparing for it that was the main thing. And like now, my face is all over the web. I have a picture on the blog. I do videos. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. But at that point, it was a big, big breakthrough for me. And I think I wrote a blog post about it that I'd really felt relief in getting that over and done with. And I felt there was no holding me back after that point.
I think that's the same in life for anything, though, isn't it? When you have the fear, if you can just embrace it and just think of it as a challenge rather than a problem and just...
You are exactly right. And there are different faces for different people. And I've always been a really, really, real life, in reality, I'm quite a confident person. But I knew deep down that this was a hurdle I had. And when I have a hurdle, when I know I have to get over it, usually I take action immediately and, you know, do whatever's necessary to get over that hurdle. But in this particular thing, it lingered on for, I think it was about 6 weeks into the course, and nobody had seen me or whatever. And I knew, I thought, well, Gary, you know, slap yourself around a bit. What am I doing here? You know, I need to get over this. And as soon as the video competition was announced, that was it. And I went all guns blazing and, I did that video. And I was really pleased with that video in the end.
Mm. It's like going to bed on an argument, isn't it? Yeah, it festers, so you just need to get over and done with it.
Yeah, and I think that applies to a lot of people, this fear. Some people have fears about maybe the technical thing or some personal thing holding back, not only on online, in any walk of life. And really, you've got to address those before they become, you know, deep entrenched in you, and it's even more difficult to get over them. And I think online, people, you know, worry about all the complexity, you know, of actually making it online, what they have to do, where they have to go for help. And really, if you really set your mind to it, all these become insignificant. You know, most people are reasonably clever enough to sort of like learn the technical things that need to be learned. And there are a few, but they're not horrendous. And once you set your mind to something and really commit, you can achieve great things, really.
I think the problem most people have is that they compare themselves to others. And they think, if somebody's been able to achieve a certain amount of success in the same amount of time that they've been doing something, and that they haven't quite achieved that amount, they consider themselves a failure. Whereas what they don't appreciate always is that it's the things that have gone on before in the other people's lives that have made them where they are. You know,
that's
the skill set.
That's a good point. Yeah, and it's not a linear curve. You know, people have got to put that initial groundwork in, and then they don't have the patience to sort of like get over that, those initial hurdles in the early days, get everything into place, and then eventually you start getting some traction and you basically start seeing some results, and that motivates you more, and then you can start going on. But most people sort of like, well, a lot of people will give up before they even start seeing some results coming through. If you stick at it, and I mean, they should use the people who do have success and as an example. Well, they've done that in such a time. It might take me a little bit longer, but I'm sure I can get there. And that's really where people should be coming from all the time.
Mm.
And not comparing themselves, like you just pointed out.
One critical factor, I think, though, is having the support of your families and your significant others, because when you learn internet marketing, there is an awful lot to learn. And depending on your skill set before you ever decide, hey, I'm going to sit at the computer and earn some money, you could spend hours and hours learning what you have to do. And unless you've got a very understanding family and partners, it can be difficult, can't it? Especially if you don't get any return straight away.
That is a very good point, yeah. And but the thing is that I think there's two factors there. Yes, you do have to have the support of your family. I think that's, well, it certainly helps. It makes it an awful lot better if you know you've got people backing you up, and you basically say you're in it for the long haul, etc., etc. But I found in my sort of like my outdoor life, all my family support me, but my friends, when I start talking about something, I used to talk about what I was doing, you know, they think you're nuts. and they will indirectly trying to pull you down in a jokey way. So I just basically refuse to talk about what I'm doing to those sort of people because I don't want negativity coming into, you know, what I'm doing, you know. And so that's the way I address things like that. But I suppose if it happens when it's close to home, it's your family, it's a little bit more difficult to sort of like overcome things like that. But I've always had the support of my wife. My kids are a little bit little at the moment, but they understand that I'm doing something on the internet and helping others and all this sort of thing. So it's been great. But the other thing as well is to make sure you do get the right direction. Is rather than struggling for hours or even days, even weeks, trying to overcome small things which are difficult for you in the early days. That's why it's probably essential to get a good mentor to make sure they direct you to the right places to get the support you need to overcome those, so it actually, you know, becomes a little bit quicker. There's no point reinventing the wheel, and the best way not to reinvent the wheel is to follow a sort of like a well-trodden path by who's gone before you.
Yeah, you do say that it's not intelligence, desire or time which sometimes prevents people achieving what they'd hope for, but poor planning and lack of action. So obviously, if you have proper instruction and somebody to show you the way, keep you on track, that's is the best course to take, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Planning, I think planning is absolutely essential. And obviously, it's not just planning and doing things, it's doing the right things. And obviously, you've got to find somebody who you basically believe in, you can trust in, to actually, you know, make sure they've, you know, done it before and they've had some level of success. And if you like that person, follow them. I mean, that's obviously, I actually love being on the Alex Jeffries course. You know, I've got to know him very, very well since we started working with him. But even before them, I believed his presentations. I believed he was a sincere guy. I took everything to heart what he was saying, and I followed it religiously. If I'd paid good money for it, there was no point I was going to pick it piecemeal and only pick the bits that I thought was going to work. This guy had done it before. He'd got to the level of success I wanted to be at, so I was going to follow it religiously. And it worked. And, you know, I suggest everybody does the same sort of thing. Regardless of what mentor you pick somebody. They will get you far quicker to your destination than you trying to muddle through and work it all out for yourself.
Mm. Now, you've obviously built your business, and the course that we were on was list building. And list building is all about connecting with your target audience by offering them high-quality information in exchange for their email address. So we were it was recommended that we try a variety of different ways to get traffic, which is obviously eyeballs on your website. Did you try them all? And if so, which did you find that you enjoyed the most?
I probably did try them all, and obviously some work better than others. I know others take a lot longer to sort of like see the result from. Things like article marketing. You know, that, you know, you don't see floods of traffic from that from day one, but you will get organic traffic. People do come to your site through any articles you've written and published to the you know, sort of like the e-zine directories that are around the place. But the ones that I liked best was the helping others out on other people's blogs, putting valuable comments on there, because obviously if you put a valuable comment, you know, sort of like the oil rig hopping, as Alex likes to call it, where you put a comment on somebody else's blog, you add value. If you've added value on that blog, people will come back to your blog as well. So that's, I found that was very, very useful. And, you know, videos. People love videos. You know, the number of videos that I did early on the course, the sort of tutorial videos I did, I can't remember all what they were about now. I think there was one about making a video itself using free editing tools, and another one about Twitter. You know, people, they do get traffic back to your site all the time. I always put the blog reference at the end. And, Twitter was a good way at the time. Twitter's not as good as it used to be because there's an awful lot of people who, you know, sort of like spamming now. But I still use Twitter a little bit to this day, and it was good for driving traffic. But it's like anything, you know, try these things out. Always monitor your results and stick with those. Apply your attentions to those that are working the best. And that's particularly if you've got limited time. There's no point in doing trivia. You've got to try and focus on the stuff that really, really matters and really gets the results for you.
Mm. I think the reason videos are so successful is that we tend to forget that a lot of people can't even read, can they? Properly, anyway. They have problems, and so watching a video, it's so much easier to see what they have to do.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, some people like listening to audio as well, and audio is a great one as well, where you can just rip the MP3 audio off a video, because they like to put it on their iPods or MP3s, go to the gym or out walking, you know, they like doing that as well. And sometimes you don't get the full effects when it's on audio, but some people like that, you know, basically they can do it in a car or whatever. And some people still do prefer the written word, you know. I mean, I still like to, you know, occasionally I'll print something off, you know, sort of like a PDF book that caught my eye, knowing that, okay, I could sit down, you know, I can have a read a bit at my own leisure, and I could take it. So, although I do like video the best, some other people might prefer some of the other mediums as well, or at different times during the day or whatever. So I think there's a place for all the different types of media. I just think that video marketing has certainly been the one that I've noticed has had fantastic results in getting recognised and getting the traffic and, you know, all this sort of thing.
Yeah. The ideal scenario, presumably, would be to do all three.
So you
the audio and then have a PDF done of it. So you're covering all the bases then, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. So, did you have a plan? I know we were supposed to create a plan right from the start. So did you set your goal? And if so, have you achieved it?
I did have a plan, and I still have a plan to this day. I worked to, and the way I tend to plan is, you know, I've a rough idea of where I want to go that year. The thing is, with a yearly plan or beyond a yearly plan, it's difficult to put a timeline on some of the things when you can achieve them, because you don't know that, you know what things are going to come up. But it's far easier to plan on a smaller time scale. So what I do, I have overall objectives for the year, which I've got several, and then each, for the next month ahead, I will plan the next month ahead, always referring back to my overall yearly targets. So, you know, what do I need to do to basically make sure I get on track to basically deliver those 5 goals this year, or whatever, how many goals I've got. And so I tend to map out, you know, reasonably detailed a month ahead what I want to be working on week by week. And then each week on a Sunday night, what I will do, I'll say, right, this week I need to do A, B, C, D, or whatever, list the things out and prioritise them. And then day by day, I will then set up what my daily tasks are for the following day. And at the end of the day, I will check, well, which ones did I complete? Which ones are the essentials? And I should have completed absolutely no ifs or buts. But sometimes, obviously, circumstances get in the way. Something that was a priority one and one there, for whatever reason, you even might not have achieved it because something's gone in the way that was unexpected. And that obviously then gets moved to the next day to become even higher priority. And that's the way I do it. And at the end of the week, you know, obviously I've achieved virtually everything I set out to do that week. There'll be one or two things I've probably got left over that was, you know, not on the priority list, but I'll just make sure I tag those over to the following week. And that's the way I do it, from week to week, month to month, always referring back to what my overall targets are for the year ahead.
I suppose it must have been quite difficult for you recently because you've been helping Alex or getting him sorted. And
Well, the only difficulty is there's an awful lot to do. Mm. You just find the time to do it all. But we do. We plan meticulously. We have some project planning software we use, and we have everything mapped out for the coming launch, which we're going to be doing day by day, week by week, everything to a T, and allocate who's going to be doing it when we want the deadlines bar. And some of those things obviously do get moved back slightly because, obviously, like I say, circumstances get in the way. But on the whole, we have a detailed plan, and it basically just mirrors effectively what I just told you before, where, you know, each week, what am I going to be doing that week? Each day, what have I got set to do this, you know, set to do myself for today? You know, what do I have to do tomorrow, which I didn't do previously, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way I've always worked. The very fact I've got an awful lot on in the moment means that planning is even more essential, because you can easily forget even key things if you don't have it written down in a task list to refer to.
Mm. So do you use like a mind map? You said you've got your software. Do you write things down on paper as well? And do you keep a daily journal? Or?
I do keep a daily journal. Yeah. And that's sort of like bullet points. Again, it's cross-reference against my plan as well. And again, when I'm mapping things out, I do mind maps. But when it comes to the planning bit, I get it all written down in some project planning software. I mean, you don't have to use project planning software. You can even use a spreadsheet. Just all the tasks down with a deadline date and roughly a duration where you think how long that's going to take. And, you know, day by day, week by week, I'm checking up against that and, you know, ticking it off on a tick sheet, effectively. and that's what I do. But I do get it written down, and it's like a document on my computer, and I can monitor against that all the time. But other people use different ways, but it's got to be written down. If it's in your head, then you're going to forget it, or it's on scraps of notes somewhere, or you know, loads of sticky notes all over, took over your computer. It's not organised. It's ad hoc. You'll miss things. And you're basically not using your time to your best advantage if you're working in that sort of fashion.
So do you outsource a lot?
Not myself personally. Other than sort of things like graphics, which I'm actually useless at graphics, and most people are. Obviously, I will go away to get graphics done. But on the whole, I tend to do an awful lot of things myself. Occasionally I've outsourced, but when there's been some real technical problem which I've known that it's going to take me a long time to resolve, and I've just gone sort of like, say, the Rent-A-Coder site, you know, issued my problem up there, and I know I'll get it back within, you know, and probably, you know, half a day or so.
So you don't utilise the other students, their sort of talents, or...?
I've used, obviously, like graphics, I've used some students for graphics. Anything else? I've actually opted in some of the lists because some of them I've made some really, really good stuff. I can't think of anything offhand, but not directly asked for help, but I've actually used some of the products they've created or some of the free reports or whatever. Because, yeah, I do, so obviously, I'm active in the forum and I sort of like keep up to date what's going on there. Some of them catches me out, oh, that's useful, I might need that later on. So I do, you know, utilise the students that way. It's a great community of students who come up with some great stuff, and it's very supportive for one another, so I sort of like tend to use it that way.
I must admit, I haven't been on that forum yet. I should do, but I find forums are really time-consuming.
There is. It's how much you want to put into it. I mean, obviously, you can get bogged down, but it's an invaluable resource. There's loads of helpful things that have been resolved on there. It's a very, very positive forum. There's no negativity we see in other forums. And it's a great resource. Even if you just want to browse now and again, you know, if you've got sort of like a problem or where you want to go for graphics, or you've got HTML issues, you want to start quickly, you do a search on that. There's often an awful lot of answers there.
Yeah, I should. It's on my list. Absolutely.
Get signed up immediately after this call and I'll approve you.
All right, thank you. Okay. Now, Alex obviously has been a great influence in your life. Did you have any other mentors before him, or was he just your first?
Absolutely not. No mentors at all, and that's, I believe, now looking back with hindsight, that's where I've been going wrong. Because, like I said, for years, I dabbled with internet marketing, but because I was sort of like comfortable in my own personal life, I'd never put that real commitment in. I think, oh, I'll find my own way about it, I'll do this. But, you know, I just kept going off on tangents and all this sort of stuff, never really fully committing because there was no real need to commit. And I've done this for a number of years, and when Alex came along, I thought to myself, look, if I really, really want to be serious about building an online business, yeah, I've got to do it right, and I've got to do it, follow somebody who's done it before. I've not been getting anywhere doing the approach I've taken. So Alex is the first mentor, and I can recommend anybody, if they really want to get on, they have to get a mentor. I'm not saying necessarily Alex Jeffries, although Alex Jeffries has been fantastic. He made the difference for me, and I'm sure he can make the difference for not a lot of people. But there are good mentors out there, and they're well-recommended, and you know, it suits your personality working along with these people, that is the best way to go, and it's the thing that held me back for a number of years, you know. So
You have to identify with somebody as a mentor, somebody who's like you, don't you? Alex had a sort of universal appeal, I think, and I think it was a lot to do with the fact that he burst onto the scene really quickly, and he wasn't like the other mentors, gurus who'd gone before, because he was very open and honest, and I think his appeal was that he appealed to the younger generation, because he was, or was, is quite young. He appealed to my sort of age group, especially the females, because you feel that you want to mother him.
I'll tell him that.
He appealed to an older generation as well, because he was just like somebody's son. He had that just kind of...
He does, and he's very, very passionate, enthusiastic. And,
yeah.
It comes across, and I think it really hit home. I knew I'd spent my money well on the first night of the first module, where he basically I think he called it Forward to Basics, I think from memory it was called. And it really hits home, his passion and his enthusiasm. I mean, he basically spelt it out, why people had failed up to that point, and basically mapped out how you should do it. It's all about sort of like your planning, your focus, your time management, your mindset, you know, your organisation abilities. That is why most people have been failing. And it sounds quite simple, but, you know, I believe that's the root cause of why most people don't get it online or don't have the success they want, is because they've got two ridiculous expectations from day one, that they're going to, you know, make $1 million in a month or whatever. It's just absolutely all these, you know, and that's fueled by a lot of these false gurus out there. There are some that basically make false claims you can make money overnight. Now,
I think that's changing, isn't it?
It is changing, but there are still people out there. Mm. And because there are still people out there, people get sucked into sort of like, it's like a lottery win type mentality, or it can happen quick for me. It can happen. It can happen reasonably quickly if you just put a little bit of effort in. And Alex addressed in that first module why people are going from drifting from thing to thing, from course to course, and never really committing and getting the results they want because they've had false expectations and not organized themselves well enough. And I thought that first module was absolutely wonderful. And it was a right eye-opener for me. And I could really relate to it myself. And I thought, yeah, that's me, and I'm going to change. And I did.
Mm. Yeah, I must admit, I've been pretty much the same, juggling too many things. I think, oh, I'll buy this, and I'll buy that, and I'll buy that, and this is the answer. And you never really finish anything. I've got loads of things I've started and got, like, 90% finished and never quite got to the end.
Well, that's right. It's right for most people. I'm still, it's easy to get distracted now and again. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I do get distracted now and again, but nowhere near to the extent I used to do when it comes to online. And the only things I purchase now online is when I know exactly that, right, I've got a particular issue or a problem I need to address now. I need to go out and find, you know, what solution I need to address that problem. Whereas before, I used to go, I'll try this problem, I'll try that problem. And beyond all that now, I just buy things that I know it's going to help my business along, and that's the way, that's the big mindset change for me.
And you have to think of the word now, don't you? Not, that'll come in handy in the future.
That is very true. You've hit, made a very, very good point there. There's no point buying something today that might be useful for you in a month's time. What is the point? Because all you're doing is you're getting distracted. If it's going to be useful in a month's time, buy it in a month's time. Only focus on the things that you need to do now, and that's come back to your planning, because if you really, really created a plan properly, you would have had that thing that you want to fulfill in a month's time, so therefore you're not even thinking about buying something today. And it just reinforces the whole thing. If you basically have a good plan and you abide by that plan, you will really see a big difference in the results you start getting.
Mm. Well, that's really great advice, Gary. And so you're back now with your blog. Are you? You'll be spending a bit more time there.
Yeah.
Now?
Yes, I will be. I'm going to be starting building up my side of the business as well, because obviously one consequence of me actually working alongside Alex, obviously last year of the coaching course, was that obviously I put effectively my own stuff on hold, which I don't regret. It's been a fantastic opportunity to work for Alex, and I will still be working with Alex, obviously building his brand up to a multi-million dollar industry in the year ahead. But at the same time, I like the creative content thing, that creating content, helping other people. So I'm going to start actually getting back into that side of the business and doing stuff for myself as well. And hence, I mentioned earlier on about the stuff with Gary Simpson. There's a project going to be coming off there in the next couple of months.
Mm, I'm really looking forward to that.
So, there's a few other things which I'll be revealing in due course.
Oh, great. Well, as I say, it's been great chatting to you, Gary, and I look forward to following your progress. So if anybody else wants to catch up with Gary with the two R's, you can find him at http://garyparks.com, where you can also pick up a copy of his free ebook called List Building Simplified. And of course, he'll have his own page on www.jeansbestrecommendedproducts.com under the Alex Jeffries Coaching Students page. So Gary Parks with the two R, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Jean, as well.
It's been great chatting to you. Take care.
Okay, thanks very much then.
Bye.
Bye.